This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
Have you ever been in a bad situation and someone says something like, look on the bright side or be positive? And to be honest, it's the last thing you want to hear. Well, what's wrong with feeling the emotions relevant to a situation, even if they're not positive? Well, got some good news for you. This toxic positivity, as it's called, is on the way out, but I'm not so sure what's replacing it is any better. Marina Della is from Flinders University and has been writing about it. Marina, welcome to Joy Drive.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
What makes positive or toxic positivity so toxic in the first place?
Yeah, it almost sounds a bit wrong when you first hear it, doesn't it? You think, well, positivity, that, you know, inherently that's a good thing. and then the word toxic is, you know, one of the kind of worst descriptive words that we use these days, you know, a relationship's toxic or that person is toxic. So when we say toxic positivity, we're talking about when maybe well-intentioned, maybe not well-intentioned positivity takes it too far or becomes too prescriptive. So if you're sort of not making room for any other emotions, if you're trampling over other people's emotions by telling them to just look on the bright side, that's when it starts to get into that toxic area.
What role, I must admit, it can be really annoying when you want to feel a certain way and someone says, oh, just cheer up, snap out of it, or, you know, move on. And you think, well, no, I can't just do it. It's not that easy. I need to feel those emotions. What role has social media played in, I suppose, being positive?
Yeah, so I totally agree with you. It can be so frustrating when you feel that you don't have the space to release those emotions. Something interesting about social media is it's a place where we are releasing emotions all the time, constantly. We're telling little micro stories about our days, about our lives, about our relationships. Whether or not we're the ones actively posting content or whether we're sort of just consuming it, whether we're doing a bit of both, we have this newfound way of communicating that is bigger and more intense than anything we've ever had before it. So you can imagine all the little emotions that come up through the day, they've got an output through social media.
Right, okay. So can we be constantly happy? Is that possible? It's not, surely not.
Oh, look, I think some people would like to think that you can be, and I'm sure there are some people out there who are happy a lot of the time. But some of the research I've been doing has actually been looking at the fact that being someone who complains, being someone who lets out negative emotions actually leads to being a happier person. So I guess it depends what your definition of being happy is, because is it that definition of always sunny, always posting pictures of rainbows and always being happy outwardly? Or is happiness actually having room for all of those emotions and telling all kinds of stories? Because that's what it is to me anyway.
I like that. I like happiness being the overarching umbrella, but all the emotions fitting into it and being able to 100%. Feel them and experience in order to be happy. I like the way. I reckon that's great. How do we know, though, that this toxic positivity is on the way out? Like, how do you know?
Yeah, so the listeners might kind of identify with this, and let me know if you do too.
Yeah.
I've seen a bit of a shift on my social media platforms where even just the pictures people are posting are very different. You know, you see all these different trends. You see people, instead of posting really glossy highlight reels, really perfect photos, we've got photo dumps now where everyone just puts in the most minutiae of their day. They've got a photo of the crackers and tuna that they ate for lunch in their dodgy back room alongside a really happy picture from a wedding that they went to on the weekend. And so I think we have this move towards perceived authenticity. Maybe that's part of it. But it's also about maybe being fed up with having a highlight reel and with this idea of perfection and wanting to be able to have space to complain, or just because we do have the space to complain, we're making the most of it, potentially.
I feel like I got a bit excited then, because I feel like, do you reckon we could reach peak social media in terms of that lack of authenticity and that curation of our experience to also, you know, to always being so positive and happy? Do you reckon we could potentially reach peak social media in that sense, and we become more real again, and we do discover that authenticity?
Yeah, I like that. I like that idea. I think, as you said in your little opener, it's a complex one, though, because is being able to complain really freely or be quote unquote authentic the whole time, is that actually the ideal? Is that actually something we want? Or do we want to be able to keep certain things private? And maybe we don't always want to see everybody else's complaints. So everyone's probably got a different perspective on what kind of stories they'd like to see their friends sharing or public personas sharing, or what kind of feed that they want to curate. You know, you hear people say that all the time. I've curated my feed. I've made it so that I'm only following positive people, or I'm only following influencers who have really happy outlooks. So I think everyone's got a different definition of what that realness looks like, and that makes it a bit tricky too.
I suppose also we don't want, I mean, the word authenticity, I love it, and I try and be as authentic as I can on radio here, but I just hope that it doesn't get hijacked to become inauthentic. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm being authentic, but you're not really, because you just...
No, I do, and I've done some other research sort of adjacent to this stuff we're talking about right now, looking at authenticity in academic self. So I'm an academic, and when I'm at work, I try and be the same self that I am when I'm at home. And that sounds a little bit wild, you know, when I'm in front of like students, when I'm teaching, when I'm on the radio, when I'm at home, it's basically the same personality. And I know that freaks some people out, but to me, that is my ideal version of authenticity, is that I can bring my same self to work. But not everyone is safe enough to do that. Not everyone has got the support systems to do that at work or online. They might be in situations at home. So yeah, it's all about basically finding what works for you, and being aware that things like toxic positivity or incessant negativity exist as well.
And there was a real dog that wolfed in the background. It wasn't me getting excited about what you were saying. Now, what is toxic positivity being replaced with, Marina?
Yeah, so I've come up with this little phrase that I'm quite proud of, which is indulgent pettiness. And I think that my hypothesis, I suppose, is that I think this is the new trend. This is the thing that's replacing toxic positivity. And the reason I call it indulgent pettiness is because it pretty much feels good. And it's kind of like a treat. You know, it's something that when you're having a goss with your friend, or you're really letting loose about someone who parked too close to you in the car park, or whatever it is, they're small irritations, hence the word pettiness, but they also feel good, hence the word indulgent.
I love it, indulgent pettiness. But I suppose, is complaining good for us? Like, is it good to get something annoying off our chest? And when do we cross that line to it being indulgent pettiness? Like, where's that delineation? Where do you reckon that happens?
Yeah, so I would say indulgent pettiness I sort of do see as a positive thing. It might move into toxic pettiness if we bring back the word toxic.
Yep.
If we get to a point where it's no longer fun for the people who we're complaining to, it's no longer fun for us, it's no longer fun for audiences if it's a content creator. So I've looked at podcasts and people on social media. I think it does hit a point where the person receiving the complaint is not feeling great. They feel like maybe the friendship or the relationship is dominated by that complaining. It could also be if it sort of becomes your personality or the only thing that you're talking about, or if you just sort of find that you're looking on the dark side of life rather than the bright side more frequently. You might actually become a little bit addicted to complaining, and then you find that you're looking out for the negatives rather than kind of being open to everything that life has to offer through the day.
Now, if I meet someone who's really negative about everything, I've got to admit, I tend to avoid them. I feel like, I'm just tired of hearing negativity all the time. Do you reckon there's a risk of becoming lonely if you embrace constant negativity?
Yeah, there is. And research actually shows that it can lead to alienation, and it can lead to first impressions going badly. I don't know about you, but that's one of my big things. I always want to make a good first impression.
Yeah.
And so the thought that if I'm, you know, letting loose on the complaining a bit too much with a new person, they might form quite an opinion of me really early, that's a bit nerve-wracking for me. But yeah, it definitely can contribute to feeling isolated or lonely. And people might not even realise that that's the reason, I suppose.
Tell us about this podcast that I've had it, and they often refer to compartmentalising pettiness. What are they talking about there?
Yeah, so I will admit, I actually love this podcast, which is why I ended up writing about it. I'm a bit of a fan, a bit of a tragic. So it's called I've Had It, and there's two hosts. You may have seen them on TikTok, or they've had little clips here and there over the internet. They're two white women, middle-aged. They sort of look, they're from the South of America, and they sort of look like what you'd expect for Southern women in America, but they're highly progressive. They're massive allies of the LGBTQIA plus community, which obviously we love. Mm-hmm. They've had a lot of drag performers come on, and the whole purpose of their podcast is to sit down and complain together. So like you said, it's about compartmentalizing complaining and putting it in a neat little box, in this case, the form of a podcast. So 30 minutes a week, or I think they do it twice a week. This is the time we're going to sit down and complain together.
So they don't complain in real life. They're not constant whingers.
I think they definitely do. There's a lot of sort of hypocrisy, and I think they acknowledge that and admit it, which might be part of their likability. They do say, look, we still complain in our real lives. But I think this was sort of the spark that grew this podcast, was the thought, hey, maybe we are complaining too much in real life. Maybe we should find an outlet for it. And turns out other people love it.
Marina, we're running out of time, but I've got one final question for you. And I suppose, how do we complain then and not go overboard? So how do we know when to stop when it's appropriate, and obviously not the first time you meet someone?
Yeah, that would maybe be my first bit of advice. Some of what the research shows is that you just got to communicate to your friends, to your family, or I suppose if you're talking about a podcast, whatever it is, just say why you're complaining. So you might say to them, oh, I just really need a blow off steam. Or you might say, I actually need some advice here. Kind of give them a reason for the complaining. That normally tends to help people understand where you're coming from. You might also talk about the feelings involved rather than just the fact you're frustrated. That helps people identify a little bit and empathize. And I think it might feel a bit awkward at first, but you can also ask people's permission. Just say, you know, have you got time for me to just have a rant? Are you in the space right now? Because you never know what the person on the receiving end might be feeling in that moment. So just say, hey, are you down for a gossip? Are you down for a big complain right now? And if they say yes, then you're good to go.
You know, when someone says, how are you? You could always respond and say, would you want to know the nice version, or do you want to know the reality?
Totally. And I think that's in the pursuit of authenticity. That's a good way to go about it.
Marina, good to chat with you. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much. Go out and complain. Have fun.
Toxic positivity. It's out. Indulgent pettiness is in. Marina, thanks so much. We'll catch you again next time.
Thank you. See you again.
Marina Della from Flinders University.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne. Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com, or the Joy app. No matter where you are. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.